Father, as we dive into your word this morning, open it up to us. See us what you'd have us to see. Again, as I humbly come before you, if anything I may say seems odd and twisted, straighten it out. As we give you praise and glory in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we finished the book of Ruth. And so I thought, well, where would I go or what should we do? Especially as we're starting really summer and here it's June and there's a lot of things going on in June. So I thought what I would do is we would look at some of the Psalms, not in any particular order, and I'd say randomly, but I could say the providence of God would lead us through them. So I thought we'd look at those through the month of June, because there's going to be times where I'm here next week. Dave Nelson will be preaching here. I'll be preaching at the camp. And then the following Sunday is Father's Day out at the park. So there's a lot of things going on. And so, but try to do something a little bit different, but stay really focused on God's word. And that's what we're going to do. And then probably in July, we'll switch and get more dialed in on a particular book. So this morning, if you turn your Bibles with me, in the book of Psalm, and I'm in Psalm 51 this morning, is where I'll be. And we're going to look at it just really a portion of three verses. However, I thought I would just read all of Psalm 51, kind of give us some context. So if you join with me, Psalm 51. And if you notice there, the superscription of Psalm 51, and many of the books of Psalm have something stated there, and it almost becomes part of the inspirational word of God just in that superscription that takes place. And I'll read that too, and it says there in Psalm 51, "For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me known wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice. Otherwise, I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. But your favor do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar." Lord, may you give us wisdom and guidance in your word. We're going to focus this morning on 10, 11, and 12 is where I'm really going to kind of dial in this morning. And thinking about this area of maintenance and cleansing and having maintenance. It's been some years back. We were working on the KVCS school. And up on top of the roof of that building, they've had trouble with roof leaks in that school for years. But on top of the KVCS school, Kootenai Valley Christian School, is they've got these, they're scuppers, really. It's pipe that comes up through there, and it drains all the water that collects on the roof. And all the water collects to these scuppers that's up on top of that roof. They recently got the roof fixed, so everything's fixed now. It shouldn't leak anymore. But the thing was that you have to get up on top of that roof and check those scuppers. Because if those scuppers got full of pine needles, and it's not so much leaves that fall on that school, because there's not that kind of problem. But if those scuppers were to get plugged, well, then all that water collects right there. And pretty soon water has a way of finding its way inside the buildings. And then in that particular place, in that building, you'd have a blowout. Something comes down through the roof of that building and into the classrooms. And it's like that. So there's, even now, that building would still need some regular maintenance of somebody going up there and checking to make sure that roof's okay and those scuppers aren't plugged up, you know, or you have that. Well, in life, we want to avoid massive failures in our life. And we want to avoid having blowouts in our life. And the thing is, there needs to be a regular cleaning, a regular maintenance that takes place. But, you know, I'm a guy, and I don't like words like maintenance, you know, or care. You know, things kind of let go. You know, for me as a guy, I want something that's kind of an immediate. You know, we want immediate inoculations. We just want one shot from God and we're good. And the thing is, but blowouts that happen in life don't work like that. In fact, I'd say that God doesn't work like that. You know, it's if we want to avoid the blowouts, well, then we need to be washed. And perhaps one of the most spectacular failures that we find in the Bible is David. And we have David here, and David, he's probably the most referenced person in the Bible besides Jesus Christ here. And you know David because you're familiar with the stories. You know, young David that gathers five small stones and kills Goliath. You know, David, he's really a poet. He's a song composer. Many of the Psalms are written by David more than probably anyone else. And even David had spectacular blowouts. You know, and for him, and just like having blowouts because the scuppers aren't cleaned on the school, they happen by kind of ordinary circumstances, ordinary cases, things that build up. You know, for David, it starts off so simply. You know, he's tired and he chose to stay home rather than go out with his men and fight. And then he chooses to let his eyes linger just a little bit too long when he notices an ordinary woman taking an ordinary bath. But he lingered and then he thought, you know, and before you know it, it's worked up to such a case that he has one of his best men killed just to cover up. And you know, we use words like in our day and age, a momentary act of indiscretion. Well, actually, it's a momentary act of absolute stupidity. It's an act of sin that takes place. And it took a prophet by the name of Nathan to come and reveal to David the extent of his wickedness that took place. But to David's credit, he loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. He desired the joy of his salvation. He desired it even more than his own sin. And so he sat down and he writes these words for us that we've just read here in Psalm 51. In fact, I think back to Psalm 32 because it says there that 32:3 says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long." And I would say sin is like that. When you're God's man or God's woman, God's boy, God's girl, when there's sin in your life, it's going to eat at you down to your bones until you get something taken care of. Verse 12 in Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And he prays, "Sustain me with a willing spirit." You know, that sustain, it's really to uphold. You know, "Lord, keep me standing." You know, and this morning I want to ask a couple questions that I hope will help us, all of us, avoid blowouts. And I don't like failures. You know, failures in my life have always been painful. It's usually a trip to the ER or some crazy thing like that. But and I want to keep the joy of my salvation. You know, how do I keep it from slipping away? And the simple answer, it's as simple as regular maintenance, washing. But before I can ask, how do I keep my joy? Well, then I need to consider, it is, why is maintenance so hard? Why does it seem so hard? When you think about it, washing, that seems to be a very non-complex endeavor to do. It seems so simple, but it's hard. You know, why else would we have entire companies that dedicate everything about their business to just that, washing? You know, well, I want to suggest three things this morning from our text that's going to help us explain why we avoid washing before we even talk about, well, how do we do it? And the very thing that we're going to find is right there in the very words of Psalm 51. And there's three words in our text. We got purify, some translations have purge there in verse 7. We also have wash, and we have the verse 9, hide. You know, and the first one there is purify. When David writes, he says, purify me with hyssop. And just by that mere statement, you already see that David, he wants something gone. He wants his guilt taken away. And again, back when we look at Psalm 32, I mean, it's eating at him. But he knows, and I'd say we know, that good guilt goes hand in hand with sin. You know, in order to be clean, you must be willing to purify or be purified of your sin. Now, I know some of you like to camp. You like to go camping, or you like to go hiking. You like to spend time in the wilderness. We live in that kind of environment, you know. Well, how would you purify water if you didn't have iodine tablets or a Brita filter? How would we do it? Well, we would boil the water, you know. And in boiling water, something has to die. You know, something has to be taken away from that. And by definition, purification or purge, what it does, it involves something of loss. Something has to be taken away. And notice what David suggests here that he be purified with. He doesn't just say, purify me. He says, purify me with hyssop. Now, hyssop is a plant. You know, it's a flowering plant. And, you know, Dave Nelson could probably give us a whole thing just on that hyssop plant. You know, you like these good with trees and things like that. It has a purple flower. It's part of the mint family. And for the Israelites, that would have meant something to them. Because they used to offer up sacrifices in order to be made clean. And the priest would take a heifer or take a goat, and then they'd touch the person with that hyssop and the animal, and then they'd kill the animal, and symbolically, that killing that person's sin. And we can read more about that in the books of Leviticus and Book of Numbers. And when someone died, they would cleanse the body, and what they would do, they would do it with a hyssop branch. And back in Egypt, the angel of death, it came and it killed the firstborn, and you know, the angel would come across and it would skip over the Israelites' home because of why? Because there was blood put upon the doorpost and the lintels. Well, that blood was applied there with the hyssop. Read about that in Exodus 12. Purifying involves some kind of loss. Now maybe all of us, and we should, grieve more over sin. You know, because the purify means something's lost. Something has to die. But you know, the exchange is so much better. You know, So we have purify. We also have wash in verse 7. And that washing, it's as a whole, it is like that. It involves some kind of loss. How many of you like to get a bath? You know, none of the kids raise their hands, obviously. Years ago, when we were in Plummer, we would do annually, we had what was called a mud football game. And one of the farmers there, he would plow up a whole field, disc it all up, and then he'd hose it down all night, you know. And we'd play mud football out there. And when I say mud football, you were absolutely, utterly caked with mud, head to toe. And then he'd set up this big tank, and he would hose you down afterwards. So you'd get a washing afterwards, and that washing merely just took off the big chunks. You know, you were still muddy, but at least you could kind of move around, you know, but it was that thick. Now, that just took care of that surface that's taken care of. Now, I'm speaking to some of maybe the men in the room, but do you ever remember being in a boys' locker room? I hated the locker room. You know, I hated going to gym class or after football practice and you're in your locker room getting a shower and that type of thing because you know you're vulnerable. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You're all getting cleaned up and you're concentrating on the shower and you know that you're going to be exposed. And especially if you're not careful. Washing involves vulnerability. And that's not pleasant. Standing in front of God and admitting your imperfections. And when you come to Him, it's as if you're standing there with all your imperfections. The eyes aren't coming from your fellow buddies or anything like that, but God Himself. But guess what? He does love you. He doesn't see any of their imperfections. He's the one that made you, and He made you on purpose. He loves every inch of you, and He made you that way. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Don't you think the master craftsman knows why he makes each piece of art unique? But still, you're standing there. And that's hard work. But you know what? The payoff is worth it. We know that instinctively that a perfect God should be, by very nature, hide His face and withdraw from His presence from our sin. But He loves us so much that He wants us to get past that. He wants us to get over ourselves. What He wants is for us to get clean. And the third thing, and I know I'm tying it in with the word hide, but in verse 8, He says, make me. You know, make me hear the joy of in gladness. It's to acknowledge. And so that third word would be acknowledge. But in order for us to be clean, we have to give up one last thing. And that last thing is we've got to give up control. And I'm going to tell you a sad fact of life is this. There is not one of us who is righteous. The Bible tells us, no, not even one in Romans 3:10. We cannot save ourselves. We must rely on God. And that means if we would be clean, we must acknowledge that only God can clean us. You know, the grandkids, I'll pick on all the granddaughters because I got a lot of those. Not so much now, but some of the granddaughters would do this. They'd be trying to put their shoes on or put on a coat or something like this, and you'd try to help them, and they go, I do it. You know, and they don't want you to help them. I do it. And you go, okay. And then you stand there and you wait, and pretty soon they're struggling and they kind of give in, and finally you help them get it on there. We're just like that. You know, we're telling God, I do it. And then He's like, okay. David had to acknowledge that only God could create a clean heart in verse 10. Only God could renew a steadfast spirit within him. You know, the same goes for us. It's the same thing. That's hard, but it's necessary for each one of us. We might read things that God wants us to do things. He might tell us something like, love your enemies. You know, that sounds pretty nice in principle, but do we really want to be praying for the people that we don't like very much? If you're going to acknowledge that God is the one that's in charge, he might start asking you to do things just like that. You know, God, he will not overpower you. You must submit. You know, submit's that, it's like a bad word, but it's there. But you can't do that until you acknowledge that he is the one that's in control. And that's why maintenance is so hard. It's because it involves an admission that we go, I can't do it. Only Jesus Christ can cleanse you like you need to be cleansed. So if you want to have your joy bad enough to acknowledge him, how do you go about doing it? Well, let me suggest again a couple things and I'll be done. Is how do I do it? Well, the first one is the word. You know, Ephesians 5:25, we have Paul there. He's telling husbands to love their wives and to do it the same way as Christ loves the church. And if you're there, you can turn with me because it's really, you'll see that Christ, he has an interesting way of showing his love for the church. Husbands, 25 and 26 of chapter 5. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Boy, when you get into where it's talking about marriage counseling, I always go to that one. It kind of ends an argument real quick right there. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. In other words here, he's attending to her daily maintenance. And in doing it with the word, and that is how you do it. You know, if I were stopping, you just look around this room, this church, or the Kootenai Valley Christian School where they do teach the word. Bible studies, Camp Elohim. And I'll say this, probably the most important one, your home. It's where it is. There's so many opportunities for being washed in the water of the Word, God's Word. We still live in a free country where we can read the Bible without fear of direct persecution, at least for now. You know, we are blessed to have such easy access to the Bible. Most Christian families, I'll just speak for probably most people in this room, you probably have multiples of Bibles at your home. We have that. We're blessed. You live so close to so many opportunities to be in the Word that you could spend your entire life just bathing in it. Which brings me to a question. Is how do you approach your bath time? You know, do you come into your bath time just for a little quick sprinkle, or do you come in there to just get totally drenched? The Bible, the scripture here, it points us to God. You know, the Bible is a book that is written for us. It's not about us. It's about God, the one who made us. It's an opportunity for us to know God better. You know, the more time that I spend in the book, the more I get to know him better. And it takes time. And it's fresh every day. My memory isn't what it should be. You know, I think my mainframe's full or something. I need to defrag something. It's just that I need to be reading it on a daily basis just to maintain it. You know, in Psalm 119:11, where, you know, I've treasured your word in my heart. Some of them say, I've hidden your word in my heart. I don't know. Sometimes I think I've hidden it in some place and I forgot where I hid it. You know, it's that. So I need to be in it, and I need to be in it on a regular basis. I've been married to Mrs. Donnerberg for over 41 years. You know, we've known each other since junior high. I love her more now than I do the day that I met her. You know, and why is that? Well, it's because I've spent years getting to know her better. Okay, it's fresh every day. In fact, I learned something new about her on a regular basis every day, just as it should. This book, it's described for us in Hebrews chapter 4:12, actually a couple times in Scripture, as being sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it's active, and it pierces as far as the divisions of soul and spirit. I mean, this blade that it's described, and it's like it's sharp. And you know what? I don't like the blade, but I love the one who holds it. The next thing is prayer when it comes to this area of maintenance. We must be in prayer. You know, if we're to stay clean, we must be in prayer if we would have joy. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul there, he urges us, you know, because I say it's written, for us, is that we're to what? Pray without ceasing. You know, it's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. In fact, the preceding verse there, 16, says, rejoice always and pray unceasing. You know, it's that. This psalm that we read here in this Psalm 51, what is it? Well, it's a prayer. In fact, the header in my NASB here in chapter 51 of Psalm says, a contrite sinner's prayer for pardon. Prayer is something that it's open. It's an intimate admission of who I am and who He is, God. Prayer, it's raw. It's not primarily for public consumption. It's simply an intimate. It's as intimate, really, as a relationship between a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, a man and his wife. It's that kind of relationship. It's close. It's pouring out our heart to God and being honest and open to Him. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's like taking a shovel of dirt and walking up to the ocean and throwing it in there, it's gone. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, and Psalm 103:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Prayer, it's more than just words. It really is, it's a way of life. In life, and as I look in this room, there's some young ones out here. Even though you may be young, you know, I am sure that you have encountered some obstacles that have come up in your life and temptations that you find yourself wanting to do the wrong thing. You know, between Libby and Troy, we've got some guardrails, don't we? You know, and if you were to run your car into one of those guardrails, what would happen? Well, you're going to damage the car, you know, but you're probably still alive. You know, it'd be that type of thing. Well, can you imagine if those guardrails weren't even there? You know, well, you'd do more than damage the car. It's going to be awful. You know, sometimes yesterday I was had Katie, Dwillo with me, and I'm backing up out of Eric's place there, and there's a spot that comes right next to the edge there, and I'm using Hannah's minivan. It's good to do this with somebody else's vehicle. And it got where the ground just sloughs off and it goes right down that hill. And I'm thinking, boy, if we were just 1 foot over, down we go. Well, thinking of these guardrails in life, and if we were to expound on guardrails, what would guardrails of life be? Well, they would be God's word. They would be prayer. They would be parents. They would be teachers in our life. They would be the church. You know, if we want to avoid major blowouts in our lives, we would really do well to keep up with daily maintenance, to allow God to wash us, to drench us in the things that influences us for God's benefit and ours, to read the Bible, to get to know the one who's made us and saved us, to get to know how we're supposed to live by reading His Word to us, you know, reading it to ourselves, to read the words to your children, parents. Read them out loud. By prayer, by speaking to and listening to our Heavenly Father and spending time talking with Him, which is, let's do that right now. Father, we do give You praise this morning. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we're going to move into a time of communion now. And we want to remember what our sin, as awful as our sin is, that we give it to You. And Lord, I ask that You cleanse us. And right now, if there's been some sin in someone's life here this morning, Father, I pray that right this very moment, they make it right with You right now. By confessing it to You, by giving it to You, knowing full well that You paid the penalty for it on the cross for us, You for them, their sin on the cross. And so, Lord, be with us this morning. Again, as we give You all praise and glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.